You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, you and I, right now, as we're doing this, we are 3 years into our dream. If we were Andre Ingram, we would have another 8 years to go before we actually had, like, a taste of our dream. Do you think we could last another...
Seven years.
I thought it was he was an 11-year G League guy.
No, it's 10, I think. All right, solid start to the podcast.
I'm pretty sure it's 11, and this is part of the reason why I don't think we would make it to that taste of the dream.
Nope, we are not professionals at all.
We are going to open the show up by talking about Ingram. It's a really cool story.
The real Lakers Ingram, don't at me.
The greatest Ingram in the history of the Lakers, in the history of sports. Screw Mark Ingram and his New Orleans Saints that lost to my Minnesota Vikings. Anyway, so that's what we're going to open up the show with. And then we are going to speculate wildly about whether or not Mike D'Antoni cared more about sending just another middle finger to the Lakers organization above what's best for his team, you know, because it's not like Chris Paul has any kind of injury history or anything like that, right? Especially as they get ready for the playoffs. That has never happened. So that's where we're going to go. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I kind of sort of had a hairline right now. And you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA.
Yeah, I got a haircut today.
It looks, you know what? I can't lie. It looks clean. It's a good look. This is about as clean and cleanly as I've seen you in a little bit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. To segue into our actual basketball topic, instead of Anthony hitting on me on the air, I just got a text from my friend that just said, so this is my best friend. He follows the Lakers. He's like pretty much a fan, but
What are you talking about?
You're not my best friend. Mm-hmm. He just texts me, who is this Andre Ingram guy? ? And then follow up question, related to Brandon? So for those of you that didn't listen to yesterday's show and are just coming into this and you're like, this is going to be the place where I go to research Andre Ingram, you are in the right place. He is not related to Brandon. He did have, 19 points? Yeah, 19 points tonight, the most by a Laker in their debut since Nick Van Exel. Yep. And, like, I mean, that's pretty incredible. Like, this game was a sports movie except for the part where they didn't win at the end. But I guess, like, in the sports movie ending now, like, the Lakers sign him to a 10-year max contract this summer.
they give Andre Ingram the Kobe deal. The two-year, like, $24 million deal.
Yeah, he's, like, I mean, he's not quite that age yet. But, you know, 4 or 5 threes, like, that, you know, that, I mean, obviously this isn't it for him. He's going to play tomorrow. But, like, I don't know. Who knows how much longer he's going to play in the pros. But, like, this was incredible to watch. I don't root for games or whatever anymore. And, like, I was, like, fist pumping during his threes.
Should Andre Ingram hold out tomorrow's game for better pay?
I don't think he's allowed to do that. Like, he signed
I'm kidding. Good Lord.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I like, under the CBA, I'm pretty sure he's not allowed to do that. But
it'd be great if he tried. Like, who's a baseball agent I'm thinking of? Boris. If Scott Boris was his agent, like, he would legitimately think about, all right, Andre, we got to think about this, what's best for both of our interests, and Ingram might not play tomorrow.
Like, the Lakers tonight, with Ingram out there, with Ware, with Thomas Bryant and Zoo and all this stuff, like, this is why the G League is important, and, like, further emphasizing that is that Luke had, like, lineups out there that were just all South Bay Lakers, and he just literally had them run South Bay Lakers plays.
Well, it's important.
Which is like, that's like incredible admission of like, I am just phoning this into at this point.
No, I mean, I think there's something to be said about having a G League team in the building is in the same building as they are in.
No, right? I know. I was like, kidding around. But well, like,
it's a pretty cool aspect of the way that the Lakers run their organization. Now, like later in the offseason, I'll get to a point that I have been building throughout the entire season and all of that good stuff. But for right now, it's really cool to be able to enjoy the way that Ingram's game was able to easily translate onto the Lakers team, right, and onto a Lakers court. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that they run a lot of the same systems, a lot of the same sets, and it makes it a lot easier on him.
It's different. There are some similarities, but it's different. Like, this is something that I've talked with Kobe Carl about.
Breaking. The NBA is not the same as the G League. But okay.
No. I mean, like, the plays and stuff. Like, he talks about how they have to run different stuff because you have to somewhat organize for your personnel. And the Lakers personnel is different than the South Bay Lakers personnel. Mm-hmm. And so they aren't the same thing, but there are some similarities. And I think the other thing, too, is if you can shoot, you can kind of play anywhere as long as you're – but he was out there like – he looked like he had crammed for a homework assignment and, read their playbook. And he looked like he knew where he was supposed to be.
Wouldn't it be more Luke phoning it in if he was running Lakers sets with the full – South Bay Lakers lineups out there? Like,
I was kidding. That was not my actual take.
Well, sure, like, but I think it's I continue.
No, it's
back.
Like a cool adjustment.
Yeah, like I think it's a cool, like, little tidbit of the story that he calls sets that those guys are comfortably running. And if I was the NBA, like if I was another team out there, and look, the Houston Rockets didn't give a flying bleep about this game, right? But
well, the
actual Houston Rockets players were like, "Hey, Mike, can we come out?" Yeah, but I think if I was another NBA team out there, I think this synchronization across the organization,
synergy,
light years. But I think all of these words that you hear in like the Silicon Valley. Yeah. These things are a legitimate advantage, and I think we saw the benefits of that advantage in Andre Ingram's performance, and we're going to continue to build on where I just think it's a really cool story. I can't talk about this quite enough, so we're going to keep doing that here in a second. So, again, all right, so in this – look, whatever industry that you happen to be in, Harrison and I are pursuing sports writing and sports podcasting – whatever your passion might be, imagine pursuing that for a decade plus. Whether it's — did you ever find out if he's been in the G League for 10 or 11 years?
It was I'm gonna say 10.
Of course you didn't.
This is his 10th year.
But if he's been in this thing, he's been going at it for a decade plus, and he finally saw that come to fruition. And I thought the interview that Mike Trudell did with his wife was just tremendous. You heard the emotion coming through. You saw the emotion coming through the TV, and that's just something that — look, pursuing a passion is not something that the individual does by themselves. The entire family has to buy into this kind of thing, whether it's a financial backing, whether it's a time backing, whether if it's just like a spiritual or a psychological backing. This is not something — you don't set out to be a professional basketball player, let alone a Los Angeles Laker, by yourself. And him going through all of those things and finally seeing it to come to fruition in the way that it did, and scoring 19 points, only missing two shots. He missed one three-pointer.
He missed only one of his threes, and he was like 1,000% fouled on it.
Yeah. Well, he missed a three and he missed a layup, right? Those were the two shots. And I'm blaming whoever was in charge of putting the basket wherever it goes. Somebody moved it, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it at some point. This is going to be the Locked On Lakers only journalistic endeavor, is finding out who moved
Locked
the basket.
Locked On Lakers, the Pruder film.
Yeah. But I just want to – I don't know if I – am I putting this into proper context as to how cool this was? This was incredible.
No, this is the thing that like stands out when you talk to a guy like this, and this is part of the reason why I like covering the G League when I get the chance to, is like he and his family, like his family has come and every single year until this one come and lived in a hotel room with him, where like the teams are required to provide for players like a place of residence as part of their G League salary. And so like they would come and live in a hotel room with him in LA for the entire season. He's making like around $20,000 a year. And then they would like tutoring students on Skype or in calculus to make extra cash. And then then they head home to Virginia to live during the off season. And this was the first year that his family actually didn't come with him. And so that's why they were talking about they had to fly out for this game when he got his call up. So like, you know, this is a guy, he went over to Australia like 2 years ago and came back after like two games, 'cause he just didn't want to be without his family.
So close
and
to
so
his
this
family.
Is, this is like a, you know, this is a big commitment for their entire, like for the entire Ingram clan, basically. And so when you see it, like, it's just, it's a human moment and it's really cool. And I think like, these are the reasons that we watch sports ultimately is for moments like this, even if they're in a loss and, you know, whatever, like when you can find stories like
nobody's going, nobody's going to remember that the Lakers lost this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, sometimes this stuff is bigger than like the actual outcome of what happened on the basketball court. Like, that's incredible that he went out there and scored 19 points in his first NBA game, you know, after grinding for as many years as he did.
And kudos to the Laker crowd, because every time he touched the ball, it was palpable. You know, you actually felt the crowd rooting on this guy. They'd never heard of him. I would imagine the vast majority of the people in that building had never heard his story, right? Unless they had Twitter, they were watching Twitter, Lakers Twitter, as they were rolling into the arena. I don't imagine a lot of those people had much of an idea of what was going on. And
judging by the metrics on that feature when I wrote it like 2 years ago, yeah, probably not a lot of people knew.
Although, you know, a lot of the beat reporters seem to read it. I thought, now look, you know, Lakers fans seem to get this knock on them. West Coast fans in general seem to get this knock on them that they aren't true sports fans, that they are bandwagoners, that they show up late, they leave early, all of these things. That somehow only people on the East Coast and the Midwest understand what it's like to root for a team. And look, whether it was Ingram making shots and that was driving the emotions and the passion in Staples Center last night, or it was just those moments where it looked like the Lakers were going to challenge the best team in the Western Conference in the entire NBA this year, Staples Center was rocking. And if you're listening to this podcast right now, seeing as the Lakers are going to finish the season probably losing, 12 out of their last 15 games. If you're listening,
they had the Kyle Kuzma game against the Spurs.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this right now, you can pat yourself on the back that you are a legitimate sports fan. And I thought last night, Lakers fans I thought it was just, it was amazing to see that come through the screen and see how everybody was just like collectively rooting for this guy to live out his dream to the nth degree. I don't think it's one of those moments that I'm not sure I'll remember or I'll I'm not sure I'll forget for a really long time.
No, it's like, and then imagine how cool that was for his daughters to like get to see something like that.
Hell, like, the kids that he tutors, like all of that. It's just so
yeah,
cool.
It's like that was my math tutor last night.
Yeah. Well, you remember there was that one movie, I forget which movie it was, where like the science high school teacher tried out and like made the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time. He was played by
Dennis Quaid. Was it The Rookie?
Yeah, way to go, Harrison. There you go. But it was
movie on VHS.
All we are old. Chapter whatever. 11,000th whatever. But I would imagine that, you know, the people who are either directly tied to this guy's story or peripherally tied to his story, or just like I've talked to about a couple times, the people who were just in the arena and wanted somebody to live out their dream to the actual best extent that he possibly could. It's just, It's just so freaking cool, man.
I'm telling you, like, I know obviously they can't give him a statue outside of Staples Center. That would be like, you know, we can't seriously suggest that, but give this man a statue outside like the UCLA Health Training Center.
No, I think we should, you know, those like miniature like statues that are, you know, they're really popular right now with like the kind of rectangular face.
Like the pop figures?
Yeah, the pop figures. We should just super glue an Andre Ingram pop figure outside of Staples Center.
Yeah, I'm not sure that figure exists, but...
Somebody work on making it and then super duper glue it outside Staples Center.
And then tweet it to Locked On Lakers and we will retweet you.
Yeah,
let's go viral together.
That'll be our avi for the next season.
Yes.
If you do it. All right. We're going to take a quick second. When we come back, I'm going to... take an opportunity to crap on Mike D'Antoni. So, Harrison, the Houston Rockets are 7 games up on the Golden State Warriors for the number one seed in the Western Conference and home court throughout the Western Conference playoffs. And I believe they have home court throughout the playoffs at this point. What the hell was James Harden doing playing 31 minutes tonight? And what the hell was Chris Paul doing playing in the fourth quarter of that game? Even though it did provide a pretty cool moment where he basically annihilated everything that Ivica Zubac hopes to be for the rest of his life. But
that was really mean. That was bullying, honestly.
It was,
like,
twice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there should be the NBA has anti-bullying initiatives. That, like, Chris Paul should get fined for that. That was really mean and unnecessary.
Are you saying this as a concerned parent?
Yes. Larry Nance Jr. and I are very upset with what Chris Paul has done to our son. And, you know what? I'm glad he's not a Laker. That man's mean.
Am I allowed to make the case that Mike D'Antoni was doing that as like a, you know, just another, we saw Mike D'Antoni's wife, I think earlier on in the season, tweet like happy days are here again or something like that. Or when she was asked a question,
That was fun. She was asked a question and she gave like, but come on, that's hilarious.
It was objectively hilarious.
That's
no, I'm saying
that's
was
a funny roast.
I think that was great. But I think tonight, like imagine if Chris Paul gets hurt in that game. And this season that could be potentially one of the best seasons in the history of that franchise is derailed because Mike D'Antoni wants to send...
Or one could say their hopes were vetoed.
For what kind of reasons, would you say?
Yeah, apparently not basketball reasons. Or yeah, I guess basketball reasons if it happened on the basketball court.
Petty reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
But, all right, so you seem to disagree with me when I put it out there on Twitter. Why are you... So not again. Why are you so against fun?
I mean, that's just like, come on, man. That's not a real thing. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just feel like sometimes you just take that. You just like want to draw this insane hot take conclusion on things. And honestly, Hot Take Harrison is a parody of you. I'm just going to come out and say it. Hot Take Harrison is how I see your Twitter account.
More like Hurtful Harrison, if you ask me. But
today,
I look. If I was a Houston Rockets fan and I saw James Harden play 31 minutes in a game that meant literally nothing, and as they head towards a postseason where they have a legitimate shot, like they really do,
they could win the title this year.
The Golden State Warriors are kind of limping towards the finish line here.
Kevin Durant already has eyes on his next destination and teaming up with Andre Ingram and LeBron James in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. I think, you know, all of these things are kind of going on. And Mike D'Antoni is playing Chris Paul and James Harden midway through the fourth quarter in a meaningless game in Los Angeles. Like, I wouldn't be legitimately concerned. I wouldn't be pissed or anything like that. But I would be. I would kind of ask, like, "Hey, man, like, what was actually going on that night? What was actually going on last night when you decided you were gonna, you know, risk those things in what could be the most promising season since the last time the Houston Rockets won a title?"
I just think Mike D'Antoni doesn't really like managing minutes.
Maybe. So the two knocks on him now are the lack of defense and now the lack of managing minutes.
Yeah, he's like Tibbs, but good at coaching.
Tibbs without personnel. Like Tibbs who cares about consents and is actually decent as an NBA coach.
Yeah, like Tibbs, but relevant for today's NBA.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that analogy. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was fun. The Lakers wrap up their season. By the time you guys are listening to this, today, this is the last game.
Mamba Day. Oh, wait, no. Mamba Day is the 13th, man, I think. Yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. I pre-Mamba'd.
You shot your shot.
Yeah, fired some venom off.
The Lakers wrap up their season by the 2017 to 2018 season of the Los Angeles Lakers, and Locked On Lakers is going to come to a stop.
Wait, here. No, it's not. We're going to keep going. We have to. We're contractually obligated.
No, I meant the season. Like by the time we record the next show after that, we're going to be talking about like the off season and stuff to come to that.
Yeah, and the takeaways from day one of Media Day.
Do you understand how like dates work and time works?
Apparently you don't, because somebody tweeted at me that you put the wrong date on today's podcast. So like,
did I? I don't remember making the podcast. I can't lie.
Yeah.
So. Look, man.
We're saying.
Just like the Warriors, we are limping to the finish line. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HMFagan. You can follow me on Twitter at AnthonyIrwinLA. We will talk to you tomorrow after the Lakers wrap up their regular season. And if you guys have any ideas on how Harrison and I should send this team off into the history books, let us know in the iTunes reviews.
What would make you guys laugh? We're ready for some ideas.
Give us your favorite moments of this Lakers season.
Yeah, give us your favorite moments of this Lakers season in the iTunes reviews. Best ones we will shout out on the show tomorrow.
We'll try to relive them and we'll finish the season on a high note. We'll finish the season with a bang, with a laugh, all that good stuff, and send everybody off into the off season with as much promise as we can muster. Have a great day, everybody.